Welcome to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a show lovingly intended for millions of spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people like you who may at times be led into ego stupidity, a lesser version of yourself, and a lesser version of life. This show will give you a much deeper understanding of what ego is, what it's doing to your life, how it can weaken your human and spiritual wellness, and how you can heal in each of these areas if needed. It's Your Ego, Stupid, will heighten your awareness of the intense link between your ego and spirit, your humanity and divinity, and the synergy that can lead to the best version of you and your life. Your host is Dr. Nick Martin, a licensed psychologist who has worked in the clinical, university, school, and private practice settings over the past 40 years, while serving as a therapist, diagnostician, educator, and consultant. Welcome again to It's Your Ego, Stupid. And now your host, Dr. Nick Martin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Nick Martin, and thank you for listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. As the intro said, this is a program lovingly intended for spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people, just like you and me, who may at times, maybe more than a few times, be led by our ego into something I call ego stupidity, a lesser version of ourselves, and a lesser version of life. Ego stupidity that can be affecting the relationship we have with our husband, our wife or partner, perhaps with our son or daughter, maybe our brother or sister, or even with ourself. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult for us to achieve, to move forward in life, to climb the ladder of success, and to experience a sense of purpose and meaning to our life. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult to deal effectively with all of the inevitable changes, adversity, stressors, or conflicts that happen in all of our lives. And finally, ego stupidity that makes it difficult to feel genuine happiness and often leads us into unneeded or inappropriate anxiety, anger, guilt, sadness, or something I call fake happiness, which is pleasure-based happiness often masquerading for the real thing. If things aren't going well, or maybe as well as you'd like, you've come to the right place, because a lot of what's going wrong in our lives, or perhaps not as well as we would like it to go, has much to do with our ego energy. It is serving as the fuel for what I call ego stupidity. It's often the unseen and unrecognized source of what's going wrong in our life, both humanly and spiritually. These are lessons I've learned from thousands of people just like you over the past 40 years. You've taught me with your lives, your relationships, and your experiences with theorists, books, or schools of psychology could not teach me about ego. You have been my teachers. Again, I want to thank you for joining me for today's program, which is going to have us completing our look at significant chapters of our life story. In particular, we'll be looking at our ability to manage and resolve conflict, to work with conflict, to end conflict, as well as our ability to experience genuine happiness, something that so many people are seeking but seem to be falling short of. As I said before, each of these areas are, apart from being important chapters of our life story, can also be used as mirrors in which to look and to get to know the kind of ego energy we are using to manage our life, for better or maybe worse. We'll be looking at why these areas are important, the reflections of ego stupidity that can be happening, and what kind of ego energy can be at work to make it happen. Also, during the last part of today's program, we'll be discussing what genuine happiness is and what it looks like when compared to false, fake, or pleasure-based happiness. I'm also going to be talking about a consciousness I refer to as ego spiritualism, in which we are living the best version of our humanity in concert with our divinity. A consciousness in which we are able to move from living from the good life into the great life we are all meant to live. A great life in which we are fully awakened spiritually and humanly. one in which we are speaking with our voice, not ego's voice. And by the way, if you want to know what ego's voice sounds like and whether this is happening to you, please read my book, The Two Voices Within, which is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Balboa Press online bookstores. You can also use that book to see if you are truly speaking with your voice in your life and not ego's voice. But first, we're going to take a look at conflict. As I said, we're going to talk about conflict and our ability to manage and to resolve it. And we begin with the first question, which is, well, why is this an important area? Why is this so important? I'm sure many of you have seen what's going on both within your own personal experiences as well as the world that's around you, that there's a lot of shortage of conflict that's playing out. And this conflict is an inevitable part of life because we all come from a different time and place and set of life circumstances and events and experiences, which make us as humans unlike anybody who has ever lived or will live. We're completely different from anybody who ever lived and will live. And it's that individuality and our uniqueness which invites plenty of opportunity for conflict with others who are bringing their individuality and their uniqueness into our life. So in a way, this challenge area, this dealing with conflict, is almost the idea of how well can we deal with differentness, the differentness challenge that comes into our life from other people. Healthy conflict, by the way, can really be an opportunity for learning and growth because we can teach each other new and maybe different and often better things than what we already know. So a lot of times when I hear the word conflict, and I talk about this in my book, Ego Therapy, it's been given a bad name. That conflict can be an opportunity from which we can stretch and we can grow and we can go beyond where we currently are by making use of what others have to share with us and maybe teach us. Unfortunately, when unhealthy conflict is happening, it's really an opportunity to breed disrespect and dislike for others, and even hatred, as well as lives filled with anger when people become intolerant of the different worlds that people come from, and in some ways want them to disown their life in favor of our own. And so being able to manage and to resolve conflict, or at least being able to distance ourselves from it when it's becoming toxic, is really an important life skill that often prevents us from taking on another person's stuff that can weaken the quality of our life. Unfortunately, that's something I see a lot of people doing, taking on other people's stuff as a result of the conflict that took place. And it's a poor resolution of that conflict. And so, unfortunately, many people become prisoners of other people's stuff, their baggage, and they often don't know it. This is something that often takes place for people who may have lower ego power, who are disempowered, who are too readily taking on what other people are forcing upon them. Some people who have higher ego flexibility may be prone to embrace the false truth that other people are putting toward them within the confines of conflict. And also people with higher ego vulnerability energy who may, due to insecurity, be prone to readily accept other person's assaults upon them as sort of another reflection or an affirmation of their weaknesses and imperfections. So lots of people enjoy conflict. To just switch it around a little bit, there are those people out there who also really like conflict. They enjoy conflict. It's often masquerading as drama. You see people who like to get into drama. And part of the reason why that's happening is because it interrupts boredom and low arousal on their part. Unfortunately, this can have a destructive or harmful, a damaging effect on the people they are bringing this drama to. The people who tend to do this are more likely those with lower ego vulnerability energy. These are the kind of people who love to fight. They love to fight, and they would love to fight over anything and everything. They like to pick fights, because they enjoy it. It's the emotional arousal that they may have difficulty experiencing under regular circumstances that leads them in this direction. So this is why it's important to understand this important life area, so the things that can happen in it we don't become caught up in. But unfortunately, this is more often the rule than the exception. People do get caught up in lots of conflict. I want to go ahead now, talk a little bit about the reflections of ego stupidity and the ego's impact that brings about this from happening. One of the first reflections of ego stupidity that can happen is that we fail to recognize when conflict is being harmful, when it's being destructive, and it's being toxic to those who are involved in it. You know, people just keep staying involved in the conflict and failing to realize that there's nothing to be gained here, and yet they're caught up in it. They're stuck in it. And this is a reflection of ego stupidity. It's usually happening because there's something with the energy that's keeping them connected to this, rather than if they were in a healthy egoic energy, they would realize this is not going to work. This discussion, this conversation, this disagreement is really not leading anywhere. So when people are in a healthy place with their balance, their power, flexibility, and vulnerability, they begin to distance themselves in a good way. Another reflection of ego stupidity is that people often don't realize that they're throwing psychological punches at other people during the conflict. And they don't know it a lot of times, or maybe they just don't care. It doesn't matter to them whether they are throwing these punches at people, these insults that may come about, because a lot of times when conflict is becoming harmful, it degrades into name calling and other forms of direct or indirect insults. This is something you often see with people with higher ego power who need to win the conflict and can, at all costs, whatever it involves for them to win it. So attacking people, insulting people, questioning their intelligence is something you often see. And also people that have low ego vulnerability. These people, the ones that they're often insensitive, they're reckless, they lack empathy. So assaulting people verbally or physically, for that matter, doesn't matter to them. That doesn't bother them. A lot of times, another aspect of this ego stupidity is that people in these conflicts, particularly people with higher ego power, they may be winning the battle, meaning that maybe they're winning the argument, or they're assaulting the person with whom they are in conflict a lot. But the war is being lost, and the war is the relationship. So if a person has higher ego power and they're attacking their spouse, their partner, and they are, quote, winning the argument, but they're often losing the relationship. And what's interesting is a lot of times they don't even know it. And when this person at some point feels like they've had enough and leave the relationship, the higher ego power person feels like they're blindsided. Like, well, what happened with that? Why did this relationship end? They have no clue, because of their ego blindness, of how these destructive ways of handling or interacting with their partner led to the negative things that ended up happening. Also, another reflection of ego stupidity, there are lots of them I can go on to, but I'll share a few more. We think conflict should be win-lose. Win-lose conflicts. So somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. And the loser is often proven to be wrong and can often, to some degree, be disgraced as being in some way stupid for having been wrong. Again, conflicts for people experiencing ego stupidity or exhibiting it are often win-lose conflicts. Again, people that have higher ego power have to win the conflict, because to lose the conflict means a loss of power and control. Also, people with lower ego flexibility, these are the people who believe they own the truth, and to acknowledge another person's version of truth would weaken their grasp, their belief that they truly own the truth, and so leaving the door open for somebody else's truth is not palatable for them. Another reflection of ego stupidity is that we can have difficulty really listening to the other person and oftentimes spending more time preparing our next reply. A lot of times you see people in conversations, we're having disagreements. Instead of really listening, they often interpret hearing words as listening, but it's not, because it doesn't involve the attempt to get at meaning, understanding of what the other person is saying. They're preoccupied with their next response. They're, in a way, counterpunch. And for the people, some people, listening is a loss of power or control, because if I listen to you, I have to acknowledge that maybe you have some a better idea that I don't want to acknowledge. Or maybe listening risks loss of the truth. This is a lower ego flexibility kind of thing that's going on, so people don't listen for that reason. Or perhaps listening risks an increased sense of vulnerability due to being wrong. So very insecure people may block out hearing additional information, because that may lead to their failing to, or lead to a greater sense of vulnerability. So they kind of try to isolate themselves from that increased sense of imperfection that they don't want to experience. So that's another reflection of the issues involving listening that come up in conflict that are being poorly managed and resolved. Also, the one thing before we go on to our first break I want to mention is that people often are unable to agree to disagree. How often do you see the difficulty that people have? They just can't allow themselves to agree to disagree. And that's a reflection of ego stupidity connected up to an ego energy thing. We are coming up on our first break. When we return, we're going to continue talking about conflict management and resolution, and then we'll go on to talking about our ability to experience genuine happiness. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible, as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Hi, Dr. Nick Martin here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page, where you can find each of my other books, Ego Therapy, Ego Spiritualism, and The Two Voices Within.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact, without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your health care provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people, just like you and me. Before the break, we were talking about conflict management and resolution, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll go on to talk about our ability to experience genuine happiness. Another reflection of ego stupidity that often takes place when it involves conflict is when people have to agree with us in order for us to feel good about them. So when people were in conflict if we want to feel good about them, they kind of have to feel good or they have to agree with us. And if they don't agree with us, then it's more difficult for us to feel good about them in spite of what the disagreements is about. And a lot of people carry a lot of negative feelings around if people don't come around to their way of looking at things or thinking about things. And that's a reflection of ego stupidity occurring. So people feel like other people aren't okay, they're not safe. I think this is often a higher ego vulnerability thing. People just feel who are insecure, have a difficult time being around people who disagree with them. They may think that they're maybe critical of them or judgmental of them for having a different idea. They may not feeling any of that at all. So a lot of times people put in or insert ideas about where other people are coming from when it comes to disagreement. They may think there's something wrong with me because we don't see things the same way. But that's a reflection of ego stupidity, because a lot of times people aren't feeling any of that stuff at all. They're just having a disagreement. That's really all it is. So that's a reflection. And another reflection of ego stupidity is that we often can have difficulty letting go of the conflict. Letting go of the conflict. How many times do you see people just continue to carry on with a disagreement, even if it's just in their own mind that they had with somebody, and it goes on? Sometimes, depending on the nature of the disagreement, it can go on for years. And a lot of times they're harboring this underlying feelings of anger with them. And I've met people in therapy who kind of realized after some point in time they really don't remember what they were fighting about. And often the disagreement was rooted in misunderstanding, just misunderstanding of what one person or what people were thinking versus what they were thinking, and some good communication. I call it they got their wires crossed, so we're trying to work on uncrossing the wires so that people have a better understanding of what was going on. But unfortunately, that sometimes is the exception rather than the rule. People just carry on, you know, anger and conflict in their own heads. So it's like a war that never ends. It just never ends, and there's an unwillingness to be at peace. People just stay stuck in their anger and their conflict. So as we leave this particular key life area, this important life area, this mirror into which we are looking, does any of this describe you or somebody that you know? Is it something that's happening some of the time, or perhaps maybe it's going on a lot of the time? The more it's happening, the more you or they need ego medicine. Okay, we're going to now shift over to the ability to experience genuine happiness. I don't think it's too surprising that this is an important area of life for us to work with and to hopefully be successful in. I guess happiness is the emotional experience in which we are able to experience a sense of peace with ourselves and with others and the world. Something that seems quite difficult for many, many people to experience, due in part to the nature of the ego energy that's pulling them away from that sense of inner peace with themselves or others or just the world at large. Also, our happiness is intimately connected. It's an emotional experience which allows us to be motivated by love. Yes, love, rather than fear in all of our dealings with life. So often we hear more about people's efforts being influenced by fear, particularly if the ego energy starts to become imbalanced and less healthy. Fear comes into the picture much more than love. With happiness, it's the emotional experience that's incompatible with being consumed by other emotions, such as anxiety or fear or anger or guilt, perhaps depression, or what I call fake happiness, which is pleasure-based happiness. So when we're happy, if you're a happy person, heavy doses of anxiety and fear and those other emotions, they aren't part of your life. They're incompatible with being a genuinely happy person. I do want to clarify. Now, these smaller doses, when it's appropriate, at the appropriate time and place of anxiety and fear or anger or guilt, are all useful. They can play an important emotional warning system to allow us to know what we need to deal with. But when we start to go beyond these smaller amounts and doses of these emotions into pervasive amounts, whether it's anxiety or fear or guilt, we can't not be experiencing those emotions and genuine happiness at the same time. So genuine happiness, it's the emotional experience which can allow us to experience a satisfaction with our life, contentment within our life, and meaning in our life rather than dissatisfaction or discontent or emptiness. So next I want to take a look at some of the reflections of ego stupidity and ego's impact upon it when we are not able to experience genuine happiness and are experiencing these other emotions often very much. One reflection of this is when we spend time looking for things that can give us physical pleasure. When we can't feel real happiness or genuine happiness, people often seek out the things that can be fun and give them lots of physical pleasure or psychological pleasure. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with experiencing some pleasurable experiences in your life, whether it's about eating good food or having watching entertainment things and doing things that create a sense of physical and even psychological pleasure. It's just that when we begin to make that the centerpiece of our happiness, and many people do, it starts to become a substitute when we can't get the real thing, and it's being sold to us as something that is genuine happiness, but it's not. It's something else. It's fake happiness that people are often getting. And it often can become a substitute, that is the fake happiness, the pleasure-based happiness, when we don't know how to get the real thing. Things get really blurred. It's sort of, we become so, in ways, brainwashed about, well, this is what happiness is. It's about when you get all these funny, fun, pleasurable things in your life, and that's what it is. And you don't know that it's not that. And this is the hidden obstacle that begins to happen, this lack of clarity between what is real happiness and what is fake happiness, as a result of our ego energy. It's our ego energy, when it's imbalanced, it can start to pull us in the direction of trying to get happiness, but it's an ill-based, falsely based approach to get it. So we get to connect happiness, we start to connect happiness with getting money and getting property and getting valuables and getting toys and getting status and maybe getting people. And there really never seems to be enough of any of that. We're never truly pacified. And that's a sign that we're not getting genuine happiness. We're getting the fake happiness. I do remember a movie many years ago. There was a great movie called Wall Street. And Michael Douglas, I believe that won Best Picture, and Michael Douglas won, I think, Best Actor for his portrayal of, I think, a character named Gordon Gekko, if I have that right. And at one part in the story, he does the greed is good speech, where he is talking to a bunch of people, a real large crowd of people, and his theme was basically about how important greed is, how important it is to their life, and how they should embrace greed in their life. And, when I think of that movie and then subsequently the economic recession of 2008, it made me think about that theme and that message that people were embracing with that. When people are into this greed and when they're into pseudo-happiness, they can't be at peace with ourselves. We cannot be at peace with others and the world. And a lot of times what happens is our temporary happiness often gives way to anger or anxiety or even depression that we are distracting ourselves from again, with often with the use of addiction. So we seek out as a almost a vacation from these powerful and negative emotions, a substitute, and that's where the pleasure-based happiness becomes identified as, oh, this is what it is, this is what I need to get. Unfortunately, it really isn't that. But when your ego energy is imbalanced, whether it's a power, flexibility, or a vulnerability thing, these things begin to be a bigger part of our life and make us live lives that are frequently out of touch with what genuine happiness is about. And so we become prisoners of our ego energy, and we become unable to access our spirituality. And for some people, this causes them to strike out in violent ways. People who are in this place often are unable to get either genuine or fake happiness. Either one of them, both of them, are unavailable to them. And oftentimes, these people may be in a moment of false empowerment, in a moment of false truth. Maybe they have a particular cause that they are feeling angry about, not, you know, being recognized, or a moment of false invulnerability. They strike out and they harm lots of people. And it's a lot of times because what's going wrong with their inability to come to know and experience happiness of any time, of either kind. So as we leave our discussion and focus on this area, I want to ask you, does any of these reflections of ego stupidity describe you? Are any of them familiar to you? Some of the time, or maybe a lot of the time. And by the way, the more it's happening, the more you or the persons that you may know about who are experiencing this need to get ego medicine. We're now going to go on to talk a little bit about what is genuine happiness and what is ego spiritualism. I've been talking about what genuine happiness is not. I'm going to talk about what it is. And we begin by saying that it's not fake happiness. You probably know that by now. It's not false happiness. It's not rooted in a false premise of what happiness is about. It's not pleasure-based happiness, just getting a lot of pleasure-based needs met exclusively. Because if you think any of these are reflective of happiness, you're probably never going to know genuine happiness until you rethink what happiness truly is about. So we'll start off by talking about, well, then what is it? What does it look like? Well, the first thing is something I said earlier in today's program, your ability to be at peace with yourself, the people in your life, and the world. Being able to be at peace with yourself, the people in your life, and the world. You know, there's a lot of restless people out there, a lot of difficulty experiencing that sense of peace, the importance of being at peace. It's such a difficult place to be at, and it's difficult because, in part, the ego energy creates that difficulty with being connected to being at peace. And by the way, our peacefulness, our inner peace with ourselves and people in our life and the world, we can experience that despite our weaknesses and imperfections. So they don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to remove those weaknesses or imperfections that we have. There can be just as much a part of us now as and can be as we experience happiness in our life. So that's not a prerequisite. You don't have to remove some of those weaknesses or imperfections in order to come to know peace. Another reflection or another part of what genuine happiness is about is having to do with being motivated by love rather than anger or fear or guilt. Being motivated by love rather than anger or fear or guilt. I see a lot of people out there who are wrestling with motivation and feeling love within themselves as the basis for why they're doing what they're doing in their life, whether it's within relationships or within the work that they do or whatever it is about. They have a difficult time feeling motivated, coming from a place of love rather than these other things that tend to motivate people, be they, you know, higher ego power people, their thing is anger a lot of times if the control that they don't have is being interrupted. And so they get very, very angry. And they also make use of pseudo pleasure because they're probably very good at getting things that they want in their life from that source. Some people are fear-based achievers, that they feel so insecure that they work very, very, very hard. The workaholic is sometimes that person who is pushing themselves so hard in order to be successful, to achieve, and that they can't relax and enjoy themselves and be happy when they stop and give themselves a chance to just smell the roses and enjoy the things that they already have accomplished in their life. So these are reflections of difficulty. And so being genuinely happy is something where we are able to be motivated by love rather than anger, fear, or guilt. So ask yourself, when you engage in your life, in your activities, your interactions with people, or within the work that you do, how strong is love rooted in what you're doing or not doing with other people and other things? We are coming up on our second break. When we return, we're going to continue to talk about what does genuine happiness look like, and we'll also be talking about the consciousness of ego spiritualism. You're listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, Dr. Nick here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego, and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego, Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page, where you can find focused ego meditations that can help you know whether you are truly speaking with your voice in your life, or ego is speaking for you.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people just like you and me. Before the break, we had begun talking about genuine happiness and getting a sense of what does that feel like? What would that be? How would I know if I was genuinely happy? And we started looking at things like being able to be at peace with yourself, the people in your life, the world at large. And also being able to be motivated by love in our work, in our life's work, in our activities, in our interactions, rather than perhaps anger, fear, or guilt. I'm going to continue now with another one. Being respectful of your mind and your body. Being respectful of your mind and your body. So what does that look like? When we talk about respect for our mind, that means we're being able to use it to grow as a person with truth. You're using your mind to grow as a person with truth. That's what it would mean to respect your mind. As I said many shows ago, our brain isn't able to really sort out fact from fiction, truth from non-truth, belief from non-belief, false beliefs. It's really our responsibility to make that effort, to put the effort into sorting it all out. And so our mind can be filled with lots of garbage, lots of junk when we're not taking care of it. We can just go into a default mode, so to speak, and just let all kinds of nonsense come into our mind. A lot of it not true, but oftentimes harmful. I like to think of the use of the word a mental virus. When we start to have nonsense, non-truth, let's say, downloaded into our mind, it starts to create a lot of problems with our mind. The same way like with a computer, if you download programming, in a way thinking for the computer to do, and the computer catches a computer virus, and what does it do? It doesn't work right. It doesn't function right. And the computer isn't able to tell itself what should or shouldn't be put in it. It needs you to do that, or whoever designs the computers. Well, the same way goes with our respecting our mind. We have to be the ones who take ownership of that responsibility. We are the ones that must work at putting truth into our mind as a way to help it grow in our work. And so we have to do those two things. We are willing to grow it. We can also use our mind to create things with it, to make it, put it to work and make use of it. That's respecting our mind. And a lot of times the growth can be the growth in positive, truth-based kinds of thinking and understanding and creation that can take place. Now, when it comes to respecting our body, we are making use of the potential of our body. So maybe we're exercising our bodies in ways that cultivate the potential that it has within it. That's respecting our body. I'm not talking about necessarily a person who goes on extreme kinds of training regimens. That's okay if that's that person's purpose and interest. But most of us don't have to do that. We just kind of just take care of our body. And also when we are listening to our body, that's another aspect of respecting our body. Your body has a 3 million year head start. It has 3 million years of wisdom woven into it. And it's actually smarter than you are about your body. Well, the design is 3 million years. And so it knows when it's being treated healthily or non-healthily. And oftentimes symptoms will come forward. It will kind of tell you there's something that needs to be paid attention here. And so listening to your body is a part of respecting your body, as well as feeding it and fueling your body with the kinds of healthy nurturance that it needs. So happiness is partly related to that aspect of it. Another ingredient, if you want to call it, to happiness is when we're able to be passionate with our potential and we are able to work in fulfilling our life's purpose, both our human purpose and our divine purpose. When we are truly working with our potential and we are in a way passionate about it, our work becomes our play. How many people do you find say that my work is my play, or my play is my work? I think those people are in the minority, because a lot of times people haven't gotten around to a healthier understanding of their purpose. And when we're in a good place with regard to this area, we can celebrate life with our talents. So whatever talents we have, we make use of them, and we recognize the service. I think this is extremely important as part of our happiness, is recognize the service in what we're doing, irrespective of what we're doing. You can see the service in the cashiers at the Walmart store, and you can see them in the sanitation workers, and you can see them in the people who are doing accounting and business, and you can see them everywhere. It's common. But people often miss that service, that part of their human service that they're providing. So we all have our own human service that we're engaged in. That doesn't mean we need to stay with that part of it all of our lives, but if at the time that we're doing whatever we're doing, there's something we're providing that's useful and meaningful. And we're also recognizing when we're in a place of happiness, our divine service. And our divine service is the same for every one of us, which is to be the love, the life, and the energy God is within our lives. So becoming passionate and experiencing a sense of passion with your potential is part of genuine happiness, irrespective of whatever you're doing, and seeing the service within it. Another aspect of genuine happiness is becoming aware of the difference between artificial wants and genuine needs. Again, artificial wants and genuine needs. When people are in a really happy place, they begin to realize they already have so much of what they need. And they begin to recognize false wants, the false wants that are often created by materialism in the commercial industry. When people are getting the difference between the two, understanding the artificial wants and the genuine needs, so many of our earlier wants, they go away. And life becomes easier and more satisfying and less expensive. And a lot of times when people are in a happy place or experiencing genuine happiness, they realize that they're not really missing anything that they thought they were missing. Beginning to come to that understanding, they really weren't missing what they thought they were missing. And they're not trying to keep up with the Joneses anymore. So they get out of that rat race that some people get in, keeping up with other people. They stop being dissatisfied about things they didn't need to be dissatisfied about. That's part of genuine happiness. So that is part of what we need to work with in becoming and understanding what it means to be genuinely happy. The next item on the list here, I'm going to talk about 8 of them, is being free of inappropriate expectations of yourself and others. So many times people become imprisoned by the expectations of others and of themselves. And sometimes these are often unrealistic expectations that they may start to carry around of themselves. And people often use other people as a point of reference for how they're doing in their life or what they're doing with their life. And it's really important to, when we're into genuine happiness, realize that the only point of reference is yourself. The only point of comparison is yourself that really matters. And also not allowing others to do that to us, to allow others to try to compare ups with other people. You know, sometimes I've seen this with kids, parents who try to motivate their kids to do better by saying if they could be more like their brother or sister, or teachers try to do that. And those are both examples of ego stupidity, because that doesn't motivate young people. It often what I call counter motivates them. So the young person often figures out, oh, this is what people want from me, and I'm not going to give it to them. So there's a little bit of power and control that comes with not being like one's older brother or sister. So we're freeing free of expectations, and a lot of times they're false expectations that we can form of ourselves, false expectations that other people can be throwing toward us, or toward false expectations that maybe we have of others. And that's not where genuine happiness tends to reside. All right, the next ingredient to our genuine happiness is our ability to be guided by morality shaped by our health, our healthiness and love, not by fear. So a morality shaped by healthiness, doing the right thing, doing the good thing for ourselves and others, doing the healthy thing comes from love, not fear. That becomes the reason why we're doing the right or responsible thing. You do it because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. You know, when I was growing up, sometimes religion often compels us to do things out of fear. And for example, the whole idea that you're going to go to hell was the reason why you behaved. You did the right thing. You did the moral thing. You did the loving thing. And that is completely a very egoically imbalanced kind of thing, message to be putting out toward young people. It's a very egoically stupid message, because fear isn't the reason why we do the right things. It's not the why we are moral. It's because we do it out of love. We do the right thing out of love. We do the moral thing. We do the loving thing. There's a chapter in one of my books, I think it's Ego Spiritualism, where I talk about the morality of health, which is we do things because they're healthy, not out of fear. Okay, the last thing I want to mention right here is that when it comes to our genuine happiness, we are able to be fully in the present. We are in the here and we are in the now at this time. We're not distracted by the past or the future. As I've shared with you, our ego energy can sometimes pull us away. We can become preoccupied with unresolved issues from our past, or become preoccupied with the future rather than just being able to devote ourselves to now. And when we are, our ego energy is healthy, when it's balanced, it opens the door to all of that happening. We can live here. And all the things that I mentioned on this, I guess I'll call it a list of what it takes to be happy or what happiness is, are all happening because we have healthy ego energy. We're coming on the last topic of our program today, which is I'm going to talk about something called the consciousness of ego spiritualism. Ego spiritualism is an idea, term, a concept that I created in my book, Ego Spiritualism, Awakening to Your Human and Divine Self. And really, the idea here is this is an awareness, this is an awakening, in which the best of our humanity is merged with our divinity. The best of our humanity, and the best of our humanity is that balanced ego power, the ability to feel healthily empowered in our life, the balanced ego flexibility, the ability to seek the truth we do not know and to discard the false truths that we do know, and also our ego vulnerability, a healthy acceptance of our human imperfection and our vulnerability. That's the best of our humanity being manifested, and it becomes combined with our divinity. Our divinity. We are entering into the great life, means we go into the spiritual wellness that's involved, and then we are unencumbered by our unhealthy ego energy. And what that refers to is being the love and the life and the energy God is. Meaning we are the unconditional, the connective, the unburdened and the unlimited love God is. We are the, when we're being the life God is, we are able to recognize the presence of life and God's within all life forms, and we honor and respect it equally. And we also recognize our everlasting life. And we are also able to recognize the light, that the truth and understanding serve as the guiding light behind our healing and transformation. And also we're able to embrace the four divine gifts, that we each have the divine gift of our life, the opportunity to create our own life, the divine gift of eternal life, and the divine gift of God's presence within, gifts that everybody who has ever lived have received. And that life is available to you. The great life is available to you. You just have to get the unhealthy ego energy out of the way to be able to know, to live, and to be it. And that's what this program and all my programs are about. It's a vision and message about our ego and spirituality and the use of ego medicine, all of which I'm here to help you with. We have reached the end of today's program. I hope that what I've shared with you involving ego stupidity and where it can be happening in your life story will serve as a dose of ego medicine. Also, if what I've shared with you during this program resonates with you, please help me to share it with others. Our program next week is going to focus on our spirituality, our spiritual wellness, and how ego can create distance between the two of them. I want to end today's program with this message. The great news is that working to heal your ego energy using ego medicine and by growing your awareness of its symptoms, ego stupidity, insights, and spiritual impact will allow the divine truth in your being to flow and to shine through you and allow you to fully embrace each of the divine gifts. The spiritual part of healing is a given. It's part of your endowment. Divine truth and the divine gifts are part of your heritage that already exists within you. You need do nothing more to be spiritual. You already are. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. You only need to enhance your humanity with ego medicine so that all which is available to you is given. Fix your ego to fix your life, humanly and spiritually. I want to thank you for listening and allowing me to be your servant. I want you to have a great week, and please come back to my next program. In peace and love, this is Dr. Nick saying goodbye for now.